But does it really make a difference how we consume our novels? The first Tolkien books, which included The Murder of Roger Ackroyd by Agatha Christie and Typhoon by Joseph Conrad, were sent out to blind and partially sighted people by the Royal National Institute of the Blind in 1935. Now, with the prevalence of portable devices and downloads, the audiobook is no longer the preserve of the visually impaired. However, despite their continued popularity for over 75 years, I know from experience that there's an absurd stigma to enjoying reading, and yes, I do mean reading, not listening, in this way. But do you really get a more satisfying experience from reading rather than being read to? And is one mode somehow superior to the other? Well, joining me in the studio is the audiobook critic Christina Hardiment, the literary agent Carol Blake, and Professor Sophie Scott from the Institute of Cognitive Neuroscience. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Sophie, ears and eyes, obviously different ways of receiving the goods, but does that change how we retain the information?
Well, at one level, they're extremely similar. You can find brain areas that do not care whether or not you've heard something or you've seen it. Your brain areas that care about the meanings of stuff in the world, stuff that you've read, stuff that you've heard. We call it amodal. It doesn't have any sense left of how that information's got there. What those brain areas want is stuff that you understand. It wants to know about the meanings of words. So at one level, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever. Meaningful information is meaningful information to a lot of your brain, and it doesn't really mind what the input format has been.
So we're saying on a neurological level, right, it doesn't matter how we read or listen to a book.
For understanding, it doesn't matter. There are other differences. There are, when you're listening to an audio book, then you've got the performance, the person actually giving you that story as well as the words that have been written. So there's more information there in one sense. And then you've got the other stuff that's to do with the mechanics of reading. That's there if you've got the printed page in front of you. But at a certain point, you can forget about that and sort of see strong commonalities between the two.
OK, Christina, what's the unique joy of listening to a book being read to you?
Well, I think it takes you right back through the centuries to the age-old sitting round the medieval hearth and somebody telling you a story, whether it's a minstrel in King Arthur or Charles Dickens, who really wrote his books to be read. They would reckon that everyone would be doing something useful with their hands, and the whole family would hear as the father read the story with great expression, he would hope. So I think there is this extra dimension, but I think there's a way that images leap up when you don't have to look at the blank white page with the squiggly bits on.
Segment 1.
But does it really make a difference how we consume our novels? The first Tolkien books, which included The Murder of Roger Ackroyd by Agatha Christie and Typhoon by Joseph Conrad, were sent out to blind and partially sighted people by the Royal National Institute of the Blind in 1935. Now, with the prevalence of portable devices and downloads, the audiobook is no longer the preserve of the visually impaired. However, despite their continued popularity for over 75 years, I know from experience that there's an absurd stigma to enjoying reading, and yes, I do mean reading, not listening, in this way. But do you really get a more satisfying experience from reading rather than being read to? And is one mode somehow superior to the other?
Segment 2.
Well, joining me in the studio is the audiobook critic Christina Hardiment, the literary agent Carol Blake, and Professor Sophie Scott from the Institute of Cognitive Neuroscience. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Sophie, ears and eyes, obviously different ways of receiving the goods, but does that change how we retain the information?
Well, at one level, they're extremely similar. You can find brain areas that do not care whether or not you've heard something or you've seen it. Your brain areas that care about the meanings of stuff in the world, stuff that you've read, stuff that you've heard. We call it amodal. It doesn't have any sense left of how that information's got there. What those brain areas want is stuff that you understand. It wants to know about the meanings of words.
Segment 3.
So at one level, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever. Meaningful information is meaningful information to a lot of your brain, and it doesn't really mind what the input format has been.
So we're saying on a neurological level, right, it doesn't matter how we read or listen to a book.
For understanding, it doesn't matter. There are other differences. There are, when you're listening to an audio book, then you've got the performance, the person actually giving you that story, as well as the words that have been written. So there's more information there in one sense. And then you've got the other stuff that's to do with the mechanics of reading. That's there if you've got the printed page in front of you. But at a certain point, you can forget about that and sort of see strong commonalities between the two.
Okay.
Segment 4.
Christina, what's the unique joy of listening to a book being read to you?
Well, I think it takes you right back through the centuries to the age-old sitting round the medieval hearth and somebody telling you a story, whether it's a minstrel in King Arthur or Charles Dickens, who really wrote his books to be read. They would reckon that everyone would be doing something useful with their hands, and the whole family would hear as the father read the story with great expression, he would hope. So I think there is this extra dimension, but I think there's a way that images leap up when you don't have to look at the blank white page with the squiggly bits on.